141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic complete the signing of Patrick Klamala on a 4.5-year deal. The pressure of winning 10 in a row is greater than the pressure of stopping it, according to Harold Brattback. And Steven Gerrard has brought prestige back to Rangers, says one former Ibrox and Liverpool favourite. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, Gordon DL and Roger Hannah.
We're almost halfway through the transfer window, Gordon. Patrick Klamala is in. He could be followed by Ismail Asoro. Matty Kennedy looks to be going out of St Johnstone, but to where, Daniel? Daniel Stendel defends his decision to get rid of Christophe Berra. And Rangers are home from Dubai, and we are just 72 hours from the end of the winter break and the start of the real run-in.
Yeah, I'm sure the players have enjoyed their break, Gordon. Some have went and got a little bit of sunshine. Some have went to the large, shall we say, not the most glamorous place in the world. Nice place, but not the most glamorous place when you look at Rangers, Celtic, Aberdeen, going to Dubai, Motherwell out at Tenerife, getting a bit of sunshine. But all the work has been done, and it's back to cup football at the weekend, and then back to league business and the exciting run in till the end of the season.
Transfer window will and truly open, in case you hadn't noticed. You could probably say this is the first big signing of the window. 4.5-year deal, £3.5 million for Patrick Klamala. So that certainly falls into the big category. Give us your reaction to that and anything else that's on your mind. 01419511025. Twitter is at ClydeSSB. It was never going to be a window where we saw loads of big signings, Roger, but like I say, this would go down as the first big one because of the attention surrounding Celtic and Rangers and their title running, the money paid, the length of the contract. It ticks a lot of those boxes.
Yeah, the fee is basically £3.5 million. Clubs in Scotland still don't routinely spend £3.5 million on players. Clearly a highly rated young man. I think 7 goals in 17 games this season for Jagiellonia. Celtic have been keen to get someone who can take a burden off Odson Edouard in the run in the second half of the season. Still a lot of games to be played. Premiership, Europa League, Scottish Cup. If anything were to happen to Edouard, it would have caused a real problem for Celtic. I think Neil Lennon tonight will have a little bit more comfort that he's got another body in the door.
Celtic fans, quite simply then, to kick us off, today was the day that that deal got signed and sealed. So what do you make of it? What do you make of the signing of Patrick Klamala? And perhaps to dig a bit deeper, what does this mean for the strikers that are left at the club? Is this the end of the road for Lee Griffiths or Bio? Or is it about bringing them all together and seeing what they can all contribute between now and the end of the season? Gordon, any new signing, you kind of have to wait and see. You have to give them the benefit of the doubt. He's in decent goal scoring form this season. As a player who's at the form he's in at the moment is the best form he's shown over the last couple of seasons, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you just hope when you make a new signing, Gordon, it doesn't matter what country it's from, it could even be from the Scottish leagues, that they hit the ground running, and Celtic will be hoping this is the case here. He's a young lad. Apparently his strength is he's got bags of pace, which helps in football. We have to give him an opportunity. I'm desperate to see him, I really am. You can't make your mind up. I don't know anything about him until he signed for Celtic, so I'm just willing to give him as much chance as possible. I look at the other strikers there. You're talking Griffiths and Bio. I've got a funny feeling it's maybe the end of the road for Bio. I don't know about Griffiths. I think Griffiths knows the Scottish game, bagged goals for fun, still a real threat if he gets himself fit enough. So I think Neil Lennon will keep that sort of threat there, and that gives him three really, really good strikers, in Neil Lennon's opinion. Bio, for me, has not had the opportunity, Gordon, but I think a lot of people have written him off already, and it'll be interesting to see where his future lies.
Forward planning is something Celtic have done quite consistently over the last few years, Roger, and that's not me saying all these signings work, far from it, but it's a 4.5-year contract, which is clearly quite a show of faith in the player.
Yeah, the stick with the tried and tested for them in the past. They hope to find these guys somewhere outside Scotland, bring them in for, it's usually a smaller fee than the £3.5 million, but bring them in for a small fee, develop the player and then sell them on for a much higher fee, with them having done well for Celtic in the interim period. That is what they'll try and do with Klamala. I think he's only 21 years of age. The lad Soro, who's playing in the Israeli league, also just 21 years of age. So Celtic will try and get the two of them in, develop them, help them, you know, these lads, they wanted them to bring success to Celtic and then sell them on somewhere down the line. And that's part of the sales pitch for Celtic as well. When they go and speak to the likes of Klamala and Soro, they don't expect these guys to come to Celtic Park for the next 10 or 12 years. They expect them to come for a short number of years, do well, and then progress their career and bring money into the club.
I mean, the bit you have to wait on, Gordon, is to see how good he is or what impact he has in Celtic. You simply have to. You don't have much choice on that. However, from a more general perspective, Neil Lennon said way before this window even opened that Celtic wanted a striker. As the window opened, he made it clear that they really wanted a striker, they were going to go and pursue one, and he's got one within the first 2 weeks of the window. So in that respect, it's job done. Celtic have gone and got the striker. They've got a striker Neil Lennon wants. And the rest, you've got no choice but to wait and see how he gets on.
Yeah, I think that when you look at that sort of money you're spending on, £3.5 million plus wages, agents fees and everything on top of that, then you've probably looked at the player and he's ticked all the boxes. He's got to have. Now, we can't guarantee that he's going to come in and hit the ground running, but he could, another hand, come in and all of a sudden be a sensation. How many players have came to Scotland in years gone by that we have never heard of and turned out to be absolute legends for Celtic, Rangers, clubs like that? So we don't know what this lad's going to bring. He's a young lad. He'll bring bags of energy, that's for sure. Strength-wise, bags of pace, which I think the modern-day great game is absolutely terrific. So I'm excited to see this young lad performing, and it'll be interesting to see how Neil Lennon's going to use him.
Okay, the number you need to get in touch with the guys tonight is 0141 951 1025, and if you would rather tweet, then you can find us at ClydeSSB. Let's get straight to the phones and speak to Connor, who's a Celtic fan from Cope Bridge. What do you make of that news today, Connor? Patrick Klamala signing on a 4.5 year deal.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, lads. Okay. Yeah, he's a he looks like a good player. I've seen some quite videos of him. He looked quite good. I just want to ask you something. What do you think this could mean to Bayo and Griffiths? Like, for me, I would send Bayo out and loan or something like that to like a lower Scottish club like a St Johnstone or something like that. I just want to know what you think.
Well, interestingly enough, and this may be completely unrelated, it might be, but I suspect it's not. 2 minutes ago, Lee Griffiths tweeted with three upside down smiley faces and a GIF. Do you know what a GIF is, Gordon?
No.
I'll explain it to you at the break. A GIF, it's a moving picture, sort of. That's about the best way
I can
describe it.
A gift.
No, a GIF. Drop the T. Of him standing, putting his fingers in his ears, Roger, as if to say, don't listen to any of that stuff. Don't listen to the rumours or the speculation that this could be the end. Or I'm just,
I don't think,
putting it, 2 and 2 together and coming up with 15. Yeah, you decide.
Sorry, Roger, I don't think it is the end for Lee Griffiths. I think that Neil Lennon, it would be wrong to let Griffiths leave the club just now. I think you've got to wait to the end of summer and then decide his future. I think if you can get Lee Griffiths in the right mind, with the right fitness of playing his football, getting out there, enjoying it once again, getting him sharp again. The one thing you know about Lee Griffiths, he can bring something to your table. He can score goals. He's a very, very good player. Just now, when I watched him just before the break and he was coming on as sub, his fitness, I thought his fitness levels were down. He's had 2 weeks now over in Dubai to work in that. I'm sure that the fitness coaches will be working. I just think that you don't let someone of the quality of Lee Griffiths walk out your club when you're going for a league title and how tight it is. Bayo, on the other hand, I think that people at Celtic have made up their mind about the lad. I think it's been very unfair. I don't think he's had a fair crack of the whip, but I don't see him day in, day out. I think he'll be the one that'll be told to leave.
This is modern football, Roger. I'm asking you to interpret a tweet made up of three emojis and a GIF and tell us what it means.
Well, what I would say is, if anyone goes out on loan from a club, there needs to be a purpose to the loan for that club. You know, when Ryan Christie was sent up to Aberdeen, it was for the purpose of giving him regular football at a high level in the Premiership and preparing him to come back to Celtic and make an impact. Likewise, when Lewis Morgan was sent out on loan, you would wonder what the purpose would be in sending Lee Griffiths out on loan. Lee Griffiths doesn't need to have, you know, prove anything. Lee Griffiths has scored over 100 goals for Celtic. He's scored spectacular goals for his country. Lee Griffiths
made it into the team of the decade on Clyde One Super
Lee
Scotland.
Griffiths could well be a very handy guy for Neil Lennon to have about in the second half of the season. I can't see Lee Griffiths going anywhere.
Connor, what are your own view? What are your own feelings on it, Connor?
For me, I would like Griffiths to stay. I would send Bayo out on loan to like a lower league club in Scotland or something like that to give more game time, just to see how he would do with our run of games, if you know what I mean. But other than that, and can I say something before I go, lads?
Sure.
I've got a charity football match on the 18th of April at 5 o'clock at Airdrie Stadium. It's going to be Celtic fans versus Bradford City fans. It's for a player and that played for Bradford City that's got motor neurons disease. Stephen Darby, I don't know if you've heard him.
Yep, sure have.
Yeah, so we're doing a charity match and all the money will go to his charity, so hopefully we can get people along and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, good man. That's a really good cause. Well done, Connor. We wish you every success with that. Just on Bayo, Bayo is now 1 year into a 4 year deal at Celtic. Mm-hmm. Take out the couple of obvious months for the summer, take out the months that he's been injured. How much have we really seen of him? How much of a position are we in to judge whether this is the end for him or not? I mean, I get that he's not had a lot of game time, but 1 year into a 4 year deal.
Listen, the lad's been a wee bit unlucky. He was signed by a different manager. As you say, Gordon, he's had injury troubles. He's had the sizeable task of ousting Odson Edwards from the team, which would be a big task for any striker. But as Laz pointed out, you know, we can say the lad's unlucky. We don't see him Monday to Friday. Neil Lennon sees him Monday to Friday. John Kennedy sees him Monday to Friday. If he was worth his place in the team, he would be in the team. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if Bayo went somewhere short term. And if he does well, then his future may lie away from the club.
Can you see a situation where Bayo goes out on loan? Connor's suggestion was, Gordon, that he goes to another Scottish team. The obvious reason for that would be it's the same league, it's the same level, it's the same opposition. However, he's not Scottish. He's not from these parts in the sense that, you know, you want to keep him close to home or anything like that. So I don't know. Do we sometimes assume that going on loan to another Scottish team makes sense when actually he could go on loan anywhere?
Yeah, I can totally understand that. The most important thing is the boy's got to play football. Simple and straightforward as that. I can see the sense in saying, well, we'll keep him in our league, because he doesn't know the league, he doesn't know the pace of the Scottish game. It would probably help him, probably educate him a little bit more, get him used to our game, which would be an advantage when we went back to Celtic, Roger. But I just think that, unfortunately for a lad, he's been here a year. I've not seen a lot of him. I couldn't stand here and say, is he going to be a player or not? Because I've not seen enough of him, Gordon. Unfortunately, through injury, and obviously Edwards, the main striker there. But I'm not going to judge a guy that, you know, you've hardly seen. He's a young player. He's on a 4 year deal. He's 1 year into it. He needs game time to show everybody what he can do. Me personally, I think the best thing in the world for him, if he does go out on loan, stay in Scotland.
Thank you to Connor and Cote Bridge. Alec is also a Celtic fan on the line. What do you make of that signing today, Alec?
Hi, lads. How are we doing?
Hi,
please, we go to the line, first and foremost. We have a couple of weeks left of the window, you know what I mean? Talking about strikers, you know, with Griffiths, you know, I love Lee Griffiths, but if we're being brutally honest, the guy has said for the beginning of the season, he had a full pre-season, and he said right up until the Old Firm game to get yourself fit. So I'm not getting this to get fit. I'm just not buying into it. Like I say, I love the guy, but, you know, there's a lot at stake here. Like you say, Rangers want to stoke 10 in a row, Celtic want to get 10 in a row. So I think that, you know, we were talking about Lauren Shanklin last night. There was another bit today in one of the news feeds or whatever, the Celtic, or whatever, 2.2 million or whatever it was. I would rather see Celtic trying to go for a boy like that than maybe having to pay out, say, 500,000, 700,000 for a loan down in England. That way, the money stays in Scotland. Dundee United could do a hell of a lot with that. You know what I mean? And plus, at the same time, you're getting a right good talent. The guy, obviously, has got a nose for goal, and I would like to see his getting a centre half.
So I would, do you really think Celtic would go for another striker now, though, Alec?
Well, we've got, like you say, we're talking about Bio, right? We've had guys like Bangura. You know, me personally, I just think it's not going to work. Whether the guys had a chance or no, it's not going to work. Lee, you know, he's had his troubles, and you know, like I say, I love the guy, but you know, we've got Edward, we've now got this boy. Again, we're talking about, you know, we've never heard of him. We never heard of Henrik Larsson, so the guy could be amazing. But, you know, then again, we'll just need to wait and see.
Well, I'm not saying you're wrong, but Henrik Larsson had played at a World Cup by this point. But anyway, and just whilst we're on the cyber lookout, Lee Griffiths, after that tweet, he's now deleted his Twitter account altogether.
Good for him. So there good for him. Got that.
It was obviously a goodbye.
I'll disagree with Alec. I don't think that Celtic will go in for another striker. I think they'll have enough there now. Where I do agree is, if I was looking at another position now, I know they're sort of a linked with a midfield player just now, Gordon. I'm surprised at that. I think Celtic are overloaded in the middle of the park. I think that's a strength, to be honest with you. I would be looking at a centre back. In this window, I'd be looking to bring in a centre back.
Roger, how close is the second signing of the window for Neil Lennon?
Well, they're talking. I think Bnei Yehuda believe the deal is going to be done. His club in Israel, so it's now just a case of agreeing terms with Ismail Assoro and with his representatives. At 21 years of age, highly rated young player, he may, if he comes into the football club, allow Ebuwe Kouassi to head out on loan. We're talking about, you know, perhaps Bio going out on loan. I think Ebuwe Kouassi, who's now fit after that horrible cruciate injury at Dundee last year, he's fit. He needs games. I think they may well let Kouassi out in this window, and Soro would come in to compete in that central midfield area and offer cover for the likes of Scott Brown, Callum McGregor.
What about that, Gordon? I know that Olivier Cham's the obvious one. When you talk about Celtic's midfield, perhaps you have to divide it up, because you're right, they do have a lot of numbers. But what about those two holding positions? Do they really have a lot of cover there? A lot of quality cover there?
Not really, but I don't think that it's a major problem, Gordon, because you look at when their best midfield player, Scott Brown, captain, holding midfield player, went out the team with an injury and then couldn't get back in. Celtic changed their formation from 4-1-4-1 rather than 4-2-3-1 under Brendan Rodgers. And everyone was on this phone actually saying that it looked better, more attacking, quicker football. So I don't think by McGregor or Brown getting injured in there with the two holding midfield players, it would make such a difference. All they would do is adjust, because they've got so many quality players in the middle of the park.
I think losing Brown would be a blow. I think losing Brown would be up there with losing Edward. People focused prior to the winter break, prior to Cronulla coming in, about the impact of potentially losing Edward to the Celtic team. I think losing Brown would be big.
That's not my argument. I totally agree with you, Roger. I think losing Brown would be an absolute disaster for Celtic, because I think he's so important. What I'm saying is that I don't think I would panic going, I need to cover that position. If unfortunately something, right, we're hoping never, but something happened to Brown, picked up a suspension and an injury, I think Celtic, with the quality they've got, can tweak one or two things in the middle of the park. They've getting Champ to come in there as well. He can play that position. He's a £3-4 million player, quality player, Gordon. So I don't think they need a midfield player. I'd be looking at centre back.
0141 951 1025. Thank you very much to Alec on the line. Here's a question for you fans on both sides of the divide in Glasgow. How does the pressure of winning 9 or 10 in a row compare to the pressure of trying to stop it? We're going to hear from one man who was right involved in it at the end of the 90s. Want to know what you think. 0141 951 1025, and we could be speaking to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna are here. They're waiting to take your calls and read your tweets at Clyde SSB. The question we asked you before the break, I'm looking to tap into your experiences here. Football fans who lived through the 90s, how does the pressure of going for 9 and 10 compare to the pressure of trying to stop it? Because we had it in the late 90s. Kind of got it now at the moment as well. Harold Brattback knows it all too well. He remembers the pressure they were under to stop 10, but he says that's nothing compared to the heat the current Celtic players face trying to win. 9 and 10. He says he's also surprised at the legacy of that goal back in the late 90s.
Definitely. I think the pressure of winning 10 in a row is bigger than stopping 10 in a row, because when you have to win to 10 in a row, you have to be good for 10 consecutive seasons. If you have to stop it, you only have to be good for one season. So yes, definitely the pressure is on. But they've been winning for many seasons now, and they have experience from that. But all of a sudden, Rangers is coming from behind. And this year is 2 points, one game less for Rangers. And this, I heard it was 17 or 18 games left. So still a lot of points to play from. But it can be a really, really exciting spring as well this year. Winning the title for Celtic, that was maybe the most important thing for me. But obviously for the rest of the green part of the city, it was more stopping 10 in a row. I'm still baffled about how big it is to stop 10 in a row. But when you know the rivalry and when you know the history in Glasgow, it's obviously a huge part of the Celtic history to stop 10 in a row. And for me to be part of that day is obviously enormous.
Now, before anyone jumps in, I'm well aware Celtic aren't going for 10 yet, Roger. I know it's 9, but the general sort of feeling around it, that pressure of going for it versus the pressure of trying to stop it. You'll remember the late 90s, you'll remember Harold Brapp. How do you think the pressure does compare? What do you remember about that time and compared to now?
I always tend to think that there's more pressure on the team who are trying to stop it. Remember the pressure?
So you go against essentially what Harold Brapp said.
I remember that season that Wim Jansen and Murdo McLeod were brought into Celtic basically with the express instructions of stopping Rangers from winning 10 in a row. Vim, I think, that he loses first game to Hibs and then maybe the second win to Dunfermline, and there were people phoning this show demanding he be sacked after two games. And that just, for me, highlighted the pressure that Celtic were under. Now, fast forward to the end of that season, brought back Larson, scored those goals against St Johnstone, Celtic won the league and denied Rangers 10 in a row. I think there's pressure on Rangers this season to win the title and deprive Celtic of 9 in a row. Were Celtic to win the league and go for 10 next season, I really think the pressure would be on Rangers next season. But listen, it's just a personal opinion. Obviously Harold disagrees.
And what do you think on the phones? Roger thinks stopping 9 or 10 is more pressure than winning it. What about you? 01419511025, Gordon?
I'm against Roger. I'm with Harold.
You and Harold teaming up?
Yeah, I'm team Harold tonight. The reason being, Gordon, I've never been in the position, so before anyone says, but I just think that in every sport, they always say that the hardest thing to do is go over the line because all the pressure's on you. So I would say that I think that Harold is 100% correct. Only my opinion, Roger's going for the other way. I'll be interested to hear what people out there want to say about that.
Yeah, what do you think on the phones? Is there more pressure to stop 9 or 10 or to win it? What brings the most pressure? 01419511025. John is in Greenock. What do you think, John?
I think it's more pressure to stop anything.
Think so?
I tell you the truth.
And would you have said that back in the 90s as well, or are you being selective because of where we're at?
No, even in the 90s it was more pressure to stop nine, I don't know what I mean.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, I know you had another point to make as well, so don't let me stop.
It's a best boy, Baricic. Is it Baricic? Born a Baricic. Mm-hmm. I like you going to the two sites, Celtic and Rangers. They want 25 million for this guy. 25 million. They say they want the same prices which Celtic got off Arsenal for half Arsenal for eternity. It's January. It's not April. I really thought it was an April Fool's Day in January.
When you say that, John, you say they want 25 million. I don't think Rangers have ever publicly said that, or anyone closely associated with the club said that, have they?
It's on the Rangers website today. The one is with Ternley, Celtic got for Ternley.
Yeah, so
I know he had a good game against Celtic, but he's not worth 25 million. I'll tell you that.
I saw something similar, Roger, but I don't think this was Stephen Gerrard or Dave King saying he is a £25 million player and that's what we're going to sell him for.
No, I don't think anyone's put a price tag on. Well, I'll say is he's a very improved player. You saw his pal Eros Gresda, who came in from Osijek about the same time and just couldn't handle Scottish football at all and has been shipped back out to Osijek in this transfer window. Barisic took a bit of time to settle, took a bit of time to get, you know, used to the league. There was a spell last season when he looked as if he was behind John Flanagan and Andy Halliday for that left back berth. But this season he's been transformed. A very, very handy player for Rangers to have. Good set piece delivery, as you saw with Katic's goal at Celtic Park. He takes a mean free kick, as you saw with the winner at St Mirren earlier on in the season. And, you know, just the energy that he's got. He can, a bit like Tavernier there, I said, he can take Rangers 40 or 50 yards up the park. He's become a real asset to Steven Gerrard. Steven Gerrard revealed the other day, Rangers now keen to extend his contract, give the lad a pay rise to reward him for how well he's doing. But undoubtedly, there's going to be entry. You know, he's Croatia's first choice left back. Croatia played in the last World Cup final and are going to be playing in the Euros in Scotland in the summer. They're a very good team. He's a good player. And Rangers will want to get him nailed down.
Gordon, could that be one of Rangers' priorities this window? I know that getting big signings in is everyone's favourite thing. You know, that's what gets all the headlines. But maybe an improved deal for Barisic, a reward for the turnaround in his form?
Yeah, I think he's earned it, Gordon. It did take the lad a bit of time to settle into Scottish football. I always said when he came on the scene at first, I thought he was a willing runner up and down. He looked a real good athlete. I thought that his weak points were his delivery of the ball. Now, he's improved in that 100%, you've got to say. Some of the balls he whips into that box now are tailor-made for centre forwards to get on the end of and score goals. I think he's settled into the game. I think the big turning point will all go back to the free kick against St Mirren. I think that just gave the boy more confidence. He looks a complete player, and Rangers won't want to let him go. He's too important now. That left back is his position. He's the number one choice, and I think it is fitting that they should give him a reward and you know, tie him up in a long term contract, because if he keeps performing and keeps improving, there will be clubs looking at him.
And you're right, the delivery for left hand side, whipping balls into Morelos or Defoe, as you say. The one thing that impressed me does in the game at Celtic Park was when he created the goal for Kent. He didn't just whip it in, he didn't just fire it across that corridor in front of the goalkeeper. He actually looked up and picked him out, you know, rolling the ball back into his path, which I thought was a really, you know, it just showed the way his game has improved.
0141 951 1025. Scott is a Rangers fan on the line. What's your thoughts tonight, Scott?
Hi, panel.
Hello.
Just to point out a few things, right? First of all, I'm going to start with the cup final, right?
Now we are going back.
Right, we're going back to the cup final, right? Rangers were robbed that day. Every sales supporter I know has admitted it, and so is basically Lennon. The next point is, getting into this carry on with Celtic getting 10 in a row, who do they think? Rangers have got a game in hand against St Johnson, right, for a start. Plus, Steven Gerrard doesn't need to worry, because I think personally Rangers will win the league this year. I don't know, you can see that. As for Morelos, two backup players that have not been picked up, one's Goodison for Aberdeen, which wouldn't be a lot of money, I don't think.
You mean Cosgrove?
Aye, Cosgrove, sorry. And the boy, Stevie Allen, for Hibs, top goal scorer. I grew up with his dad, and his dad, I don't know if you can remember that far back, he won the Scottish Cup final with St Mirren. His dad, Stevie Allen.
Mallon. There's Scott Allen and there's Stevie Mallon, so it's an easy mistake to make, Roger.
Stevie Mallon played centre forward and went to the juniors. Old Stevie Mallon. His father, because I signed him.
As for Cosgrove, I think we got there. But Scott's saying, I don't think that would cost much money. I think it would.
Yeah, Aberdeen have
to
got
take
him
Aberdeen's
in,
top player.
Yeah, I mean, there is interest in Sam Cosgrove, a lot of interest from down south in Sam Cosgrove. If you remember at the start of the season, even Lazio had sort of scouted him. His reputation is growing so far and so wide. I just can't imagine Rangers and Aberdeen, with the relationship they've got, managing to broker a deal where a guy who scored, I think, what did he score in the last, however many, was it 32 goals in the last 50 games for Aberdeen or something like that, Gordon, was allowed to go to Rangers. The Furones still trying to settle down from Ryan Jack leaving for Rangers at the end of his contract, and that was about 2.5 years ago. So I just couldn't see a deal taking Cosgrove from Pittodrie to Ibrox.
And that's where, actually, it's an interesting example. This is where the scouting of players is so fascinating. And then it goes back to the discussion we were having about Patrick Klamala at the start of the show. Sam Cosgrove was a Carlisle reserve striker.
Yeah.
And you'll remind me of the name of the guy that put him on to Derek McInnes.
Russ Richardson.
Called him up, Derek McInnes, and says, "You have to see this guy. He's playing in Carlisle's reserves. We need to go and get him." And he comes up here with an outstanding strike rate since he arrived. So this idea of getting too hung up on how many goals a player scored previously, or what club they played in and what league they played in, it's the player that you're scouting, Gordon. It's the and I'm not saying that means Klamala or anyone else will be a success, but it's too easy to just look at all those other factors and try and draw an accurate conclusion, because sometimes you can't.
Yeah, because, well, you talk about Cosgrove, perfect example. When he came to Aberdeen, we had written him off, Gordon. He couldn't score a goal for, you know, for his life depended on it. And then all of a sudden, once again, time to settle into the Scottish game, time to settle into a new club, know his teammates, got his couple of goals, and then all of a sudden couldn't stop scoring, and everyone now is looking at him. He's very much a player in demand. Teams want him in. He's valued at a lot of money for Aberdeen now. You cannot tell. It doesn't matter if you pay 10 quid or 100 million for a player. You cannot tell when he walks into your club whether he's got to be a star or a failure.
I mean, you can have an educated assessment on whether it's going to work. You hope it's going to.
You hope it's going to. You'll do every single box ticking you possibly can to sort of a limit down the fact that he's going to fail. But you cannot guarantee that he's got to be a success. You just hope he is, with the fact that of his talent, what you see in him, his strengths, what you think he's got to bring to your team, everything like that, and you hope you can put that together. It's like Dundee United just now. Shanklin is so good because I thought his manager was brilliant in his interview. He says, "Our job is quite simple. Do our job and get the ball to him in good positions, and he'll do the next part." So it works as a team, and if you can fit into that team, you become a success.
We're learning a bit about people's personalities here, I think, because it sometimes comes down to the club that you support, or maybe just the way you see these things. Because Harold Bratback says the pressure of winning 9 or 10 in a row is much greater than the pressure of stopping it. Gordon DL agrees. Roger Hanna doesn't. And I'm seeing such a split on Twitter. Fuzzy says the achievement of winning 10 is far greater than stopping it, so the pressure must be bigger. But Tag says the pressure is all on Celtic. It's their fans who are consumed by the 10. If they don't get even 9, despite Rangers not being in the league for 4 years and hamstrung till 18 months ago, it's a total embarrassment for them. We were supposed to be behind them for decades, says Tags on Twitter.
I think the truth, Stephen Gerrard spoke very well last week when he was over in Dubai. I think he used the word obsession, and he was saying 9 and the pursuit of 9 and the possible pursuit of 10 is an obsession that's shared by both sets of supporters. He wasn't saying there's more pressure on Rangers, you know. He wasn't saying there's more pressure in Celtic. He used the word obsession when he was in his podcast with his friend, former teammate Jamie Carragher, and he said it's an obsession shared by both sets of fans.
Scott and Pollock, thank you for the call. It's 0141 951 1025. Ideal time to get in touch, because we're going to get some travel with Stephen, and we could be speaking to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, your usual Tuesday night duo. I'm wondering, Gordon, how you're feeling about Thursday. It's a big night for you on Thursday.
Massive.
In case you hadn't remembered, Roger, I don't know if he told you about this, but Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are going to be left to their own devices for the last part of the show. I have somewhere to be. There's no one here to look after them. I'm going to leave, and those two are being left in charge.
He didn't mention it to me, and I actually got the wrong end of the stick, because I thought you were doing the show from your house again, and you were going to leave the pair of them.
No,
you're living them.
Absolutely not. No way. I'm going to leave them here, though.
And do you know what's a certainty? We will have the full time teaser by 20 to 8. He'll be out a year at 7:30. The answers will be revealed.
Now I'm looking across what
that's
think
what you think. I've got a wee plan up my
your
sleeve.
Your radio presenters call the deck,
the desk,
the desk. Even there are an awful lot of switches and buttons, and flashing lights and screens.
Don't worry about it.
Are you comfortable leaving the mushroom in the dazzler?
No,
he had to get a man in to show him how to work the new recliner.
He's actually been in good form, Roger. Earlier on, I say good form. That translates as terrible form. He comes in earlier and he says to me, "Do you know what music I've been getting into recently. He said, do you know who I really like? He says, I've been listening to that guy. Is it Jeremy Simmel? Jeremy Simmel. And I'm saying, who the earth is Jeremy? And it takes a bit to translate for him, and I think I've cracked it. Is it this guy? Is that who you meant by Jeremy Simmel?
Yeah.
Do you know what his actual name is?
Brilliant.
I've taught you. Can you remember?
No.
That's Jerry Cinnamon. Should I write it down? So it's not Jeremy Simmel.
It was his first name, Jerry.
Yep.
Cinnamon.
Yeah, like the spice.
That's lovely. I'm going to see him.
Okay.
Right. If you're listening, Jerry.
Stephen was pointing out it's his biggest faux pas since he talked about Zing from One Direction.
Yeah, he's really he struggles with these things. If you think what he talks when he comes on here is nonsense, you should see what we have to filter out before we come on air. I've actually got breaking news as well on his hip resurfacing. You know he's been due to go for the hip resurfacing. He's having second thoughts because he doesn't want them to this is good. He doesn't want them to put a cataract in.
Yeah, and that bamboozled both of us at 5 to 6 when he told this story.
Tell you what, it would be sore putting a cataract in there, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Close.
Yeah, as far as I think what he meant was catheter.
I think so.
Catheter.
Anyway, moving on. 01419511025. That's the number Tommy has dialed. Tommy, what's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, good evening, lads.
Hi, Tommy.
I've got a couple of points. I'll start off with, you know, we don't need Celtic fans telling us what our players are for. You know, all I'll say is that our left back's a damn sight better than theirs. We'll leave it at that one. My main points were the way that Gerrard set up at Parkhead and set the Rangers team out. And it was a case of you leave the ball at the back when Celtic have got it with the players that he didn't probably consider weren't good enough to create anything. Like, let Julian bring it forward. Let Aya bring it forward. Let Bolingoli bring it forward. Let Scott Brown bring it forward because they won't create anything. But the minute you get to Celtic's creative players, you surround them, you get the ball back, and then you have a go at them. And I don't think he's had enough credit for that in that game at Parkhead. Mm.
I mean, I think he's had a lot of credit for it. Whether that's enough in Tommy's book or not, I don't know. But is that the one side of it that maybe Steven Gerrard is learning all the time? Well, Roger, have you seen an improvement in his tactical nous?
Listen, if you're a young manager, you're going to make mistakes. The key to improving things is learning from the mistakes and not making them again. Now, Steven Gerrard came in for a bit of criticism after Celtic won at Ibrox at the start of September, for the criticism being he got his tactics wrong. So he's looked at it again. I think there were 5 or 6 changes from the Rangers' first Old Firm team, if you like, to Rangers' second Old Firm team. A couple of tweaks within the system as well, and he got it right at Celtic Park. So you have to give him credit for learning from the mistakes of Ibrox and getting it right at Celtic Park. But you can argue he got it right at Hampden actually a few weeks earlier, but just didn't get the result that time. He got the result at Celtic Park, and the question marks after that game at the tail end of last month, Gordon, suddenly surrounded Neil Lennon's tactics. And whether it was a wise move to leave out Olivier and Cham, who had been doing so well, bring in Mikey Johnson, tweak that system. So there's another game coming. Well, listen, we could have, what did somebody say, a 12-day spell where we have 5 Old Firm games if they both get through in Europe and draw each other, and both get through in the Scottish Cup and draw each other, and it goes to a replay. So there'll be plenty of time for Neil Lennon and Steven Gerrard to consider their tactics again for the next one. But Tommy's right. If you take the December 29 game in isolation, Steven Gerrard got it right.
I think he gets a lot of credit, especially in the last 2 games. You can look back and think, well, you've got to give Neil Lennon a lot of credit because he won the Cup. But I think the 29th he was spot on. He was spot on from the first whistle because he brought in Davis, and Rangers were playing well at the time. Davis hadn't played for a few weeks, and a lot of people looked and thought, is that a gamble? You know, is he up to speed, match fitness, especially a game that the pace of the Old Firm game? And Davis, for me, was man of the match. It was absolutely brilliant. So he got that right. He won the midfield battle, which is so important, and he won the game, which was so important. So tactically, I think you're at spot on. Where he used to get a lot of criticism, Gordon, was when he first came in, his substitutions. A lot of Rangers fans used to say, he waits too long to make the substitutions. Now, I can understand now, because after his first season, he said, the most important thing for me is to make sure my bench is strong. So when I go to change things, I'm changing with quality, just not a person for another person in the park. You know, one for one. He wants quality on the pitch to change a game. He's got that in his bench now. He's got a strong squad. And I think now he looks a better manager because he's making his substitutions right.
Tommy, you want to come back in?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the biggest things that he done was last January when he brought in Defoe and Davis, and everybody was up in arms about, you know, they weren't match fit, which they obviously weren't. But the snowball from that has been this season. You know, they've had a few months to settle in, and Steve Davis looks at, you know, he looks back to when we had him before, you know, playing really, really well, running things in the middle of the park. And Defoe is Jermaine Defoe. You know, he needed game time. He's not been getting a lot, but he's still there to score the goals. My next point I'd like to move on to is, Roger, do you look for, is it the Sun newspaper that Roger works for?
Yes, it is.
Do you have that
campaign, Respect Our Players?
Yes.
Well, I think this week we've seen probably one of the worst personal attacks on a player in Scottish football that I've ever read in my life. I read Mr. Leckie's comments and personal attack on Morelos on, I think it was Monday's paper. And to say, respect people, I've never seen anybody that gets it as heavy and as hard as that boy. Now, we know the other teams don't like him, but for a senior employee at your organisation to make it as personal as that was just beyond belief. I mean, this is a young lad that's came from South America to Finland and on to Scotland. And we all know, you know, he's not your smiley wee guy. You know, he's out there, he's got an attitude, it's the way that he plays. But I've never seen anything so personal in all my life in the way that you're Mr. Leckie went. And that you've got a campaign, Respect Our Players.
Well, what I will say is we have some of the best and most outspoken columnists in Scottish journalism: Davy Provan, Chris Boyd, Michael Stewart, Bill Leckie, and they all have strong opinions in the game. Where I would argue with you, I don't think it was a personal attack on the player. I think it was an attack on the player's recent behaviour and on his recent, and you could say longer term, disciplinary record. Because Stephen Gerrard spoke last week when he was over in Dubai, and he said that, I think to quote Stephen, he said, "There are people trying to kill Alfredo's career in Scotland." And Bill's point, the kind of thrust behind the column, was the person who's doing most damage to Alfredo's career is Alfredo himself. Now, he did say, you know, there's plenty of time for Alfredo to reverse this behaviour with the help of Stephen Gerrard. And he did say Stephen Gerrard's probably the right man to get this back out of Alfredo. But at a time when Rangers are pursuing a league title, the first in a number of years, they're trying to end Celtic's stranglehold in the silverware and end Celtic's hopes of nine in a row, I'm sure you'll agree the biggest asset on the field to Stephen Gerrard is Alfredo Morelos. But it can't be an asset. No one can be an asset to their manager if they're not on the pitch often enough. And the point of the piece was that he's spoiling it for himself. Almost he's his own worst enemy with these antics. And, you know, he's hurting himself, he's hurting his manager, and he's hurting his club and the club's fans by not being there often enough. I think there's a run of 7 games before the winter break and after the winter break, and Morelos will have been suspended for 4 of them and sent off in 2 of them. And nobody's language cannot be good for Rangers or good for Rangers' pursuit of silverware.
It was important we let you answer that point. We are now seriously late for this. Thank you to Tommy in Doncaster.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Your 7 o'clock news will be a couple of minutes later than usual, but I'm sure you'll manage after that. It is Beat the Pundit. It's your chance to win a signed ball if you can get more questions right than Gordon Dalziel or Roger Hanna, who of course starts on -1 because he knows everything. So if you want to play tonight, it's 0141 951 1025, and you have to get your calls in before the news starts just after 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Roger Hanna and Gordon Dalziel here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We kicked off looking at Celtic's signing of Patrick Klamala. We've been debating, not really much of a debate because it's just a personal feeling on who is the pressure on more, a team who's going for 9 or 10 or a team who's trying to stop it. So if you've got any thoughts on those, you can keep them coming. For the second hour, look, here's one just to get us thinking outside the box a bit. And this goes to fans of all teams, so don't think you're off the hook. The winter break is coming to an end. Your teams have all been away, full squads away on warm weather training or various other training camps. Who's the fringe player you want to see given more game time? in the second half of the season and why? So no matter what team you support, who is the fringe player? Who's the guy that's not quite had the game time you think he deserves? And you want to see more of them in the second half of the season. There's one for you, and we'll do it after this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Roger minus one is ready. Gordon DL is also ready, I think. Gary's in Saltcoats, and he's definitely ready. How are you, Gary?
I'm not bad, how's you?
Yeah, not too bad at all, Gary. I'm going to toss the coin. If it's heads, it is Roger minus one every week. He tries to wriggle out of it and tell us that he wants a recount, but it's not happening. It's heads if it's Roger if it's heads, and it's Gordon if it's tails. And it is heads. It's Roger minus one.
Good luck, Gary.
Is this a bit of an Ayrshire?
Half a chance now.
A bit of an Ayrshire derby, is this? So,
yes, yeah.
Ayrshire derby, yep. We can call it that.
Soul Coats versus Girvan.
Did you hear Gary there? Half a chance.
Oh, no, I heard fine. Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Right, I'm going to give Roger some Clyde 2 to listen to. And that way he can't hear your answers, Gary. That's the last thing we need, is him being able to cheat. You've got 30 seconds. You are going head to head with Roger the Secret, and he will do this. So if you don't know it, pass it and move on quickly to the next one, okay?
Right, okay.
Good man. Your time starts now. Which Scottish club is in the process of moving from amateur to professional?
Pass.
What year was Carlos Bocanegra the Rangers captain?
2003.
Who's been named Scottish FA's new head of refereeing?
Pass.
How many times have Hearts won the Scottish Cup?
Once.
Which Polish striker joined Celtic from Wisla Krakow in 2005?
Oh, pass. I'm not coming to his name.
Who was Scotland captain at France 98?
Colin Henry.
Who will St Mirren play in the Scottish Cup on Saturday?
Motherwell.
Okay, let's bring Roger back. Roger, can you hear us?
Yes, I've got you, thanks.
Right, same set of questions to you. You ready?
Yep.
Which Scottish club is in the process of moving from amateur to professional?
Queen's Park.
What year was Carlos Bocanegra the Rangers captain?
2011.
Who has been named Scottish FA's new head of refereeing?
Crawford Allen.
How many times have Hearts won the Scottish Cup?
Four.
Which Polish striker joined Celtic from Wisla Krakow in 2005?
Magic Zarawski.
Who was the Scotland captain at France 98?
Colin Hendry.
Who will St Mirren play in the Scottish Cup on Saturday?
Broxburn Athletic.
And what is the name of Arbroath's home ground quickly?
Gayfield.
You thought you'd half a chance, Gary. Do you still think so?
No chance.
No chance. It's gone from half to no. Let's find out the damage. The first one, which Scottish club is in the process of moving from amateur to professional? It is Queen's Park. But Roger starts on minus one, so that's him just level. It's 0-0. In what year was Carlos Bocanegra the Rangers club captain? 2012.
Oh.
So you were a good bit out, Gary. Roger was just a 1 year out. But it's still 0-0 after two questions.
You're still in it, Gary.
You're still in it at this point, Gary.
Aye.
Not for long. Who has been named Scottish FA's new head of refereeing? Crawford Allen. Roger goes one in front. How many times have Hearts won the Scottish Cup? You're doing them a disservice, Roger.
Is it six?
Eight.
Eight, is it really?
It is eight. So it's still 1-0 to Roger after four questions. This is unheard of.
Gary's not even got a question right. Hang up, Gary.
No,
quick.
There may be a correct answer all still right. to come. Don't you worry.
Maybe one I'll get.
I think you're right. Which Polish striker joined Celtic from Wisla Krakow in 2005? It was Magic Zarawski. 2-0 to Roger. You got this one, Gary. Who was the Scotland captain of France 98? Braveheart himself, Colin Hendry. Unfortunately for you, Roger got it. He also knew that St Mirren play Broxburn, and he also knew that Gayfield is the home of Arbroath. So that's 4-5 for Roger and a 1 for you, Gary Hardlines.
Well done, mate.
Cheers, Gary, all the best.
Girvan comes out on top in the big Ayrshire derby.
I'd like to know where Gary got that confidence. We won. I've got half a chance of playing Roger.
Sometimes it's different when the pressure's on. All the time it's different when the pressure's on.
I think clearly now the contestants are impressed with your statistics, Naz. They beat the pundit percentages.
They're trying to take on the big boys.
Yeah,
they're going for you, Roger, now.
Yeah, wouldn't disagree with that. Okay.
I think even Craig beat Gary tonight.
I wouldn't go that far.
And a draw.
I would not go that far. Nah, I don't think so. 01419511025 in the phones, at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Now, I did say before, beat the pundit, just to get the thinking caps on, who's the fringe player at your team you want to see given more game time in the second half of the season? Maybe even don't need to describe him as a fringe player. I know that sounds a bit disrespectful, but who's the player that you think deserves more game time after the winter break than he got in the first half of the winter break, and why? This is just a completely personal feeling. There is no right or wrong answer. So just come on here and tell us, who is the guy you hope to see a bit more of? It could even be someone who's been out injured, anything at all. Who's the guy you want to see more of? Are there any yeah. that spring to mind from
for me?
From you guys? Is this going to be a serious answer? You've got that look in your eye.
I've always got a serious answer going.
Go
I'm on
it.
That programme to be serious, and I will be serious. I think young Scott at Motherwell. I think he's come off the bench and produced the goods.
Okay.
I think he's a real talent, and I would like to see him being given a good run of games, because I think he could produce for us. Yeah. I really do.
I like that, because he has played a lot, but you still want to see more of him. You want to see him start every week, and that's fine. I like that. You've explained your thinking.
Totally understand the Motherwell manager's thinking, because I think he's nurtured him along brilliantly, but I just think that sometimes you've got to take the reins off, let the boy out there, give him a run of games, see what he can do, because I think he can bring a lot to the table. That is my player that I would love to see.
Tell you what, he's done well. Usually I was expecting something that didn't make much sense, if I'm being honest, but he's produced the goods. That's James Scott. He wants to see more of James Scott in the second half of the season. What about you? Come on, don't hang about, give us a call.
I'll give you one. We're actually talking there, the Ayrshire derby and beat the pundit, Girvan versus Saltcoats. But I was down, I was over at Dunfermline seeing Stephen Milne's team a week past on Saturday when they lost to Ayr United, and I was talking to an Ayr United fan, a friend of Daz and myself, and he was saying the fringe player that Ayr need to see more of is the player manager, Mark Kerr. He needs to play himself more than he was played in the first half of the season, because the team just seems, it just seems to flow better when he's in that deep lying midfield position in front of the two centre halves. Everything seems to flow through him, and they're a better team. So the message from the Ayr fans to the player manager is more player, less manager.
Yeah, and listen, like I say, there are no right or wrong answers to this, and it doesn't mean to say that you think this player needs to go right in it and play every game. It's just, who would you like to see more of? Is there anyone who's been bubbling away, anyone who's been doing things in reserve games or under 20 games that you think deserves another crack at the whip? I'll tell you what's a real common name coming in on Twitter. No calls yet. Sean Kelly has got the same name as Tony Higgins. Marian Shved, he says, I don't feel he's been given a fair chance yet. Lennon said he's been impressing in Dubai, so we'll see, says Tony.
I read those quotes from Neil Lennon, that Marian Shved had been impressing in Dubai. I'm not sure whether those quotes were designed just to give Marian Shved a wee boost to his confidence. A bit like when we spoke about Vakanis of Bio in the first few minutes of the show, the thing you need to remember is Neil Lennon and John Kennedy see these guys Monday to Friday at Lennoxtown, and they will pick teams based on what the guys do in the games, but also what the guys do in training. And I think it says all you need to know about Bio and about Shved. No disrespect to either of them, I'm quite sure they're both talented footballers. We haven't really seen much of them in the first half of the season.
Well, exactly. That's the point then. Maybe just see a little bit more.
Yeah, well, they'll only be picked if they deserve to be picked. And that goes with any team.
Gordon, I mean, he was signed. His signing has always fascinated me to an extent because he was the guy that Brendan Rodgers said,
I've got a million wingers
as if to say, not a lot to do with me. But naturally, as you would do if you're a fan of the club, Celtic fans didn't want to be too critical of that. They wanted to look beyond that, give the guy a chance. He, like a lot of players, had quite a good YouTube highlights reel. He looked like he could score spectacular goals. Even got one for Celtic in Europe at the start of the season. But we've not seen anything from him. Is that a good shout from Tony that maybe we could see more of him? Neil Lennon did say he's been impressing in Dubai.
Yeah, but Roger could be right. I think sometimes you've got to manage, and guys have been out the picture for so long, Gordon, you've got to give them something to look forward to, you know, to aim for. And by coming out and saying that, it gives the player a real boost. Of course it does, because you've not played a lot of games. But Roger's right again, the fact that he'll only get in if he deserves to get in. It's too important now just to say, well, we've not seen a lot of him, let's see what the boy can do. From now to the end of the season, it's about winning games, it's not about experiments. So if he's going to play, Neil Lennon's got to be 100% confident he's the guy to do the job.
So the question we're asking you, which player would you like to see a bit more of at your team in the second half of the season? That doesn't mean they have to get in and start every game, but there must be someone who you just want to see a bit more of because you think he deserves it or because you've not seen enough. Sean is a Rangers fan, and he says Greg Stewart deserves more of a chance. He scored two against Aberdeen, two against Hearts, two last week in the friendly.
Who'd you leave out then?
Yeah, no, that's what, this is
something that you absolutely beat me to.
No, no, because this is what I'm saying. See more of. That doesn't mean he has to oust someone from the team and start every week. We're just saying see more of. I don't know. Say he's averaging 60 minutes every couple of weeks. You want to see him on for a bit longer. You just want to see more of him. You want to see more of what he's capable of.
Yeah, yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from. But what we're finding just now, especially with Steven Gerrard, occasionally he changed it once at Celtic Park. The players that are playing, and if they're winning and doing well, yeah, he seems to stick with that, unless it's a suspension or an injury. I know what you're saying, Gordon. Rather than just come on with 20 minutes to go, can he get 30 minutes? Can he get an odd game here and there? I totally understand that, but it's very difficult just now, I think, for Rangers and Celtic.
Really noticeable in the last 2 months of 2019. You knew what Rangers' first team was. You know, there was a while under Steven Gerrard, they rotated it, he shuffled guys in and out, tried different things. You now know what his top team is.
Right on cue, Gordon is a Rangers fan on the line. He's in Cumbernauld. Who deserves more of a chance, Gordon? Are you agreeing with the tweeter? Yes. Gordon, are you with us? On you go.
Yes, I'm with you, yeah.
Greg Stewart?
I'd like to see Greg Stewart getting more of a chance. I think he's got a lot more to offer than Steven Gerrard's done great for us, but I'd like to see Greg getting a chance, because when he comes on, he creates goals and he scores goals and he brings players into it. I think he does more than people realise.
But is that not good management then, Gordon? Because just now you've said that he comes on, he creates goals and he scores goals. So that's a great strength that the manager's got and the substitutes bench to change a game,
But at what point do you then earn more involvement? For instance, the obvious comparison, if we're talking that area of the field, maybe Gordon's not suggesting he starts every game, but should he maybe be clearly above Ojo, for instance, in the pecking order?
I think so. But I think what he's got to do is keep producing that when he comes on. Then if there's a injury in that position or a suspension, then that's where you get your opportunity to go on and say, right, I can do it from the start of the game rather than being an impact player later on in the game. And I think that's what Greg Stewart's got to concentrate from now to the end of the season.
Gordon, what have you made of him then in the games that he's played? He has got a couple of doubles, as the tweet I just read out.
The game in Dubai, and I thought when he came on, it was fantastic. When he came on, any time I've seen him coming on, I think the guy's fantastic when he comes on. He runs into his channels on the right-hand side. He'll come in through the middle, and then he can go to the byline, hit the ball into spaces, and then run back and collect it, and then put it in the net. I just think Stephen's done a great job, but I think Greg, he needs a better chance. He has to start some games, I think. That's just my opinion, you know. I think Steven Gerrard's done great for us, and we can't sort of criticise him in any way. But I'd just like to see Greg Stewart getting more of a chance in the second half of the season, that's all.
Like I said, that was the point of this conversation, Roger. It wasn't about being critical to Steven Gerrard or critical to anyone else and saying they're making mistakes. It's just a...
Yeah, he's a good player, Greg Stewart. I like him. I think he was a very important player for Steve Clarke down at Kilmarnock when he played up top with him and Brophy together. They did very well. Gordon's right, just slightly off to the right, coming in on his left foot. And it's something he's continued since he's been at Rangers. I think he's now probably ahead of Shehi Ojo and Brandon Barker and Jordan Jones, if you remember him, in the pecking order to come off the bench.
There's another one. Could he have a bigger part to play in the second half of the season?
Well, again, you mentioned there about Neil Lennon talking up Marion Schwer. I think Steven Gerrard has tried to talk up Jordan Jones during the winter break. And if you remember the first game back from last year's winter break, Jordan Jones had just agreed a pre-contract with Rangers and then scored the goal which inflicted a defeat on Rangers at Rugby Park. And from then, the sort of title challenge sort of petered out. So there's no doubt that they're all good players. They can all have a role to play. But I think Steven Gerrard has now got a nailed on first 11. And it will be difficult, barring injuries or barring suspensions, I think it will be difficult for the likes of Stewart or Jones or Ojo or Barker to get the amount of game time they want. And that's a good thing for Rangers, because it means Steven Gerrard's first choice 11 is functioning the way he wants it to.
And plus the fact, just hearing Gordon there talking about, he's always terrific when he comes on and he makes an impact. For a manager, that's brilliant to have, Gordon. That's where Steven Gerrard really complained about his squad when he came in at first, was the substitutes, the changes that he was able to make, how to get players to go on impact games. He's got that now in Greg Stewart. Whether he gets more time, as in instead of coming on with 15, 20 minutes to go, half an hour to go, change a game, an odd suspension, an odd injury, he gets an odd game in there, shows what he has to do. The only thing I will say is sometimes it's the worst thing in the world for a substitute. Every time you come on, you're brilliant, because then the manager looks at you and thinks, you're just a sub, you're an impact player. How many players have throughout the years? It's incredible. But managers do get that into their heads, thinking, well, you're an impact player, so with 20 minutes, 30 minutes to go, you're going on the pitch.
It's the same situation at Celtic for the likes of Michael Johnson, because Celtic fans were on the show prior to the Old Firm game looking for Michael Johnson to get more game time because of the impact he was making for Celtic
coming off the bench.
They gave him a start in the Old Firm game and he was anonymous. So there are players, whether they like it or not, who seem to have more of an impact coming into a game later on than they do from the first whistle.
It's a good shout, Gordon. It's certainly got the guys debating. Thank you very much to Gordon in Cumbernauld. 01419511025. Which player at your team would you like to see a bit more of in the second half of the season? 01419511025. It's the perfect time to call, and we'll get a teaser next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan. We're asking you, which player at your club would you like to see a bit more of in the second half of the season? Who deserves more game time? Gordon DL kicked us off nicely. He wants to see more of James Scott at Motherwell. We've had a few tweets for the likes of Marion Schved. We had a call from Gordon in Cumbernauld wanting to see more of Greg Stewart. So anything at all, no right or wrong answer. Which player at your club do you want to see a bit more of in the second half of the season? Right, tonight's question has been sent in, as always on a Tuesday, or as often on a Tuesday, by John Smith. He comes up with very difficult questions that Roger Hanna can get stuck into. Gordon DL helps him. And the most difficult thing about this one, I think, is the wording of it. And John's good at simplifying the wording. That's not a criticism of John. You're just going to have to listen carefully. This has got a nightmare for DL written all over it. I think once we get going, it's one of them that once we get going, I think you'll understand the question more so. He says, of all the clubs that have been in Scotland's top flight since 1990, 10 managers born outside the UK and Ireland have been given their first manager's job by one of those clubs in that time. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'll read it again. It is quite difficult. I think once we get some answers, you will see where we're heading. Of all the clubs that have been in Scotland's top flight since 1990, name the 10 managers born outside the UK and Ireland who were given their first manager's job by one of those clubs in that time.
Frank Sozzi.
Oh, brilliant.
Honestly.
Brilliant.
That's why he's here.
That's the only one I had.
I'm sure you did. So there we go. Sometimes when you've got a working example, it clears it up, because Hibs have clearly been in Scotland's top flight since 1990. Frank Sozzi was given his very first managerial job by Hibs in that period, and therefore he's one of the answers. Are you following?
I'm right there. Unfortunately, I've no answers following me.
You can play along with us on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Not an easy question at all, but now that we've got Frank Sozzi, hopefully you should see where we're going. Of all the clubs that have been in Scotland's top flight since 1990, name the 10 managers born outside the UK and Ireland who were given their first manager's job by one of those clubs in that
time. Is Mike Sue Patalainen one?
No.
Oh, that would have just made my night.
Oh, his first job would be Cowdenbeath, wouldn't it?
Oh, so it was.
Is it close? What about Ivano Benetti?
Show me the working.
Well, he was Dundee manager. Mm-hmm. I think he'd only worked as an assistant before he got the job.
And he was Dundee manager when? Roughly. Oh, after 1990.
About 99, maybe?
And he was born
outside of. Well, unless he was born in Nakel.
Who did you say there?
Ivano Benetti.
Yes. Was it, Ivano Benetti is one.
Was Alessio was no first job at Kilmarnock? Was he no assistant manager all the time?
He is not one of the answers you're looking for.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, unlucky that is.
Ivano Bonetti and Frank Sozzi. Great start,
Roger.
Great start.
I feel like I'm
only another eight to go. Right, which player at your club would you like to see more of in the second half of the season? John Paul and Falthouse, who would you like to see more of at Celtic?
Evening, panel. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Hi.
I would like to see Greg Taylor, more of him, and I'll give you my reasons. You know, Celtic bought Ball and Goalie in the summer for £3 million, but they also bought Greg Taylor for £3 million, you know, and I do watch a lot of Rapid Vienna, for quite a few Celtic fans, including myself, the Judy was out for Ball and Goalie, you know, and I think he started to turn some head when he had that good game at Ibrox. But for me, he did more bad games than he was good. I think he looked vulnerable. I don't think he's a good defender. You talk about him going forward, I couldn't tell you how many assists he's got. But I watched Greg Taylor with Kilmarnock. He was very, very consistent, hence the reason they were wanting £3 million for him. He's a homegrown talent. He's young. He came in. He played with Celtic. He gave us a very good balance. He's good defensively. He is good going forward. He got his call up for Scotland, went away, had two assists, came back, played two games, and then Lennon, Bongo came back to fitness and he played on away to Cluj, and he had a nightmare, and I thought that would have been the reason to put him back in, and he didn't, and that's the only thing this season I didn't get with Lennon. I didn't really get what's going on, but I would definitely like to see more of him. I just want to know what you think.
I must admit I was waiting on the Greg Taylor suggestion from someone, and John Paul puts it very well. Is he someone who you would expect to see more of, or you can at least understand why Celtic fans want to see more of him?
I can at least understand why John Paul and other Celtic fans want to see more of him. I'm not a huge fan of Ball and Goalie. But listen, the previous Celtic left-back, Kieran Tierney, was Celtic's best left-back in many a year, and was sold for £25 million. It was always going to be a hard task to fill Kieran Tierney's boots. So, you know, Ball and Goalie has come in. He's done okay. He hasn't been quite the player people thought he might be. Johnny Hayes is at a short, played in the cup final, I think. But for me, Taylor probably merits his chance. But again, we've said it about Shved, we've said it about Bio. Neil Lennon sees the players Monday to Friday, and Neil Lennon picks a team on his judgment. Ball and Goalie seemed first choice, Hayes seemed second choice, Taylor seemed third choice prior to the winter break. Like John Paul, I'll be fascinated to see how much football Taylor gets in the second half of the season.
Yeah, it will be interesting. They bought him for decent money. I'm not going to jump in the bandwagon about Ball and Goalie. Yes, he's had up and down start to his Celtic career. I think the lad has got a bit of quality. The minute he has a bad game, he's just a whipping boy for me. I think everybody just puts the blame right on his shoulders.
There probably is a bit of that, because that's just what we do. People get very hysterical. But also, I sometimes feel like there's a desperation from you to really let him off the hook. I mean, the chances are, not just Ball and Goalie, any player, if there's this level of scrutiny or criticism, it's because he's had more than one bad game.
Yeah, but I think that I remember I was in the studio, or I was listening to the studio. He played against Motherwell, and he had a very, very poor 45 minutes. First half, he was shocking, and he got absolutely slated, and rightly so. But the lad then kept his head down, and he was playing very well. He didn't have the best game against Rangers, I've got to say, but tell me, probably apart from Scott Brown, who did for Celtic, probably their goalkeeper. But I like Taylor. I've not got a problem. But once again, we get back to the old scenario. Neil Lennon's working with his players every day. He seems to think that just now Ball and Goalie is the right choice. But I'm sure that Greg Taylor will get an opportunity to show what he can do, because I think he is a decent player.
Gordon's quite the defender of Ball and Goalie, John Paul. He's played 27 times for Celtic. I have no idea how many of them have been good games, how many have been bad, how many have been bang average. What would you say overall? How would you assess him then over those 27 games?
I don't know if I'm one that says that he's absolutely rubbish and no good enough for Celtic. That isn't what I'm saying. But the point I made when he came back in, we got beat away to college. Although the game meant nothing, he made two. I had a terrible game. And then we played Hibs the game after that. I can mind watching it. And we got caught out of the college with two balls in behind. And Celtic were drawing nothing each of Hibs. And he'd been caught with one ball over the top. And it was only a bad touch. And I made a tackle for him. You know, I played football. So now I go, I kind of watch the defender, and I kind of watch players. But it seems to me that he doesn't really want to learn from his mistakes. Yes, Neil Lennon sees him every other time, but for me, again, with the Greg Taylor situation, I just think Greg Taylor must think, I went in there, every game I played in, I won. I went in and he chucked him in the Europa League, and he played left back, and he had a great game, and he was round at home, and then next thing he's out the team because the Ball and Goalie was back. It just, for me, For me, I'm just, this is just my opinion, it just didn't sit right, and I think Greg Taylor deserves more of a chance.
Yeah, fair suggestion. That was John Paul in Fauldhouse wanting to see more of Greg Taylor. Graham Robb would love to see some of Dapo Mabudi. He says he plays in the development for Rangers, young striker, possible backup for Alfredo and Defoe. I'd like that suggestion just purely because any chance our big sides get to integrate some more academy players, if they're good enough, of course, I think they should take it, Roger, because I know it's a unique pressure.
Not this season or next, God.
I get that, but you're 3-0 up at home to Hamilton at Ibrox. You can surely bleed an academy player at that point.
But I just don't think you'll even see any of them on the bench. It is so significant to the two clubs. They will pick their best 11 and they will pick the next
like
best.
I say, you
seven
do, you, do you do have to deserve it, but I just feel like if there's any marginal case, you know, if there's not much between X player and Y player, if it's a chance to at least do some sort of building for the future, surely you would take it.
I'm with you. I totally agree with it. I'm old fashioned. I think there's got to be a pathway for the younger players at these big clubs to come through. Yes, it's so important for the first team to go and try and win the league. Same with Celtic. But you're right. I look at Rangers and Celtic at home, they dominate most games, they score a lot of goals. I think there are opportunities there to reward a younger player with 15, 20 minutes in the first team game.
Any more on the teaser? Ivano Bonetti,
yeah,
Frank Sozzi.
John Barnes at Celtic when they come up with Dalglish.
Where was he born?
Jamaica.
Well done. Just testing you. Gary and James Howe already got him on Twitter. They were straight in with John Barnes.
Different class.
No, as quick as me.
They were quicker than you, all right.
We're sitting in the presence of a Wraith Rovers legend.
I was hoping you weren't going to get this one.
How about Claude Anelka?
Brilliant, well done. Claude Anelka.
I can't believe you've not got that, Dazzler.
Was Wraith in the Premier League at that time?
Since 1990 they've been in.
Remember 94, 95-ish?
I helped them go there, actually. Yeah. Well, I actually took them there myself with my 35 goals.
Stabbing at this. What about Marcio Maximo?
No.
Livy, no idea.
Now, we've got four. We can leave it there for now. Loads of tweets coming in about players that you want to see a bit more of. Let's get another call on that. Chris is in Kirkdonald. Who would you like to see more of in the second half of the season, Chris?
Hi, evening panel. Thanks for taking the call. First off, I'd like to second John Paul there. I think Greg Taylor's a great shout. Particularly with Ball and Golly's erratic performance and stuff. But what I wanted to speak about was Shved. I know you guys have touched on it earlier, but I think this boy's had a bit of a bad press. He's not had an opportunity. He's been put down by both Rodgers and sort of dismissed at the start of this season by Lennon, saying he was miles off the pace. The guy looked great on his showreel highlights. I know you'd never see the bad points of them, but he's not had an opportunity to prove himself. I think this boy must be straining at the leash, and I think it'd be foolish not to give him a shot next season. I wanted to see what your take on that was.
It's maybe another part of this which we didn't discuss, because of course you're right, Neil Lennon sees him more. You can only get the chance if you deserve it. Celtic have lost one winger for certain. They're probably about to lose another. So that just by a simple numbers game, surely he's closer than he was.
Well, that would be you assuming they're not going to bring one in.
Well, at the moment,
you know, they have been looking at Jonathan Cohen over in Israel, Maccabi Tel Aviv as a potential. Mohamed El Younoussi is still to come back into the picture. A guy who at one stage in his career cost £16 million. Mikey Johnson, he's been handed a 5.5-year contract, so they clearly got big hopes for him.
Most of them come off the left though, don't they? Is Shved not meant to come in off that right side? And actually, and James Forrest's been brilliant for Celtic, you can't deny that, but he maybe doesn't have as much direct competition for his place.
Yeah, I would agree, but interesting to see. I mean, will Neil Lennon revert to the system that was proving successful prior to the Old Firm game, with Forrest maybe coming in slightly from the left, Christie slightly from the right, and Encham involved there as well? I mean, we're assuming he's going to be using what we would describe as an orthodox left winger. He perhaps isn't.
Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely, guys. I was going to say as well that Forrest, I mean, kind of hot and cold after having some spectacular moments, but I think he played his best football under Rodgers when Patrick Roberts was snapping at his heels as if he had a point to prove, and he's not had, I'm not sure it was it touched on that there, but he's not had somebody like that behind him challenging for his place in order that he pushes on. And again, that's another reason why I would certainly hope that Lennon gives him a shot in the second half of the season.
I mean, Celtic had a lot of wingers to begin with. They still have a lot, despite moving Scott Sinclair on, probably moving Lewis Morgan on as well. But there are so many tweets along these lines. Liam wants to see more of Karamoko Dembele as well, who Had Celtic not made heavy weather of the Scottish Cup final, may well have come on. Do you remember the build up to the Cup final? Yeah. It was all about, we know, will Caramel Codembele come on? Has been injured, not seen much of him. Andrew thinks Daniel Arzani was unlucky that he picked up his injury. I remember thinking to myself, he looked a cracking player for the short time he was playing. So I don't know how you give all those wingers a chance, but there are some good names in there that you think maybe could.
Yeah, there's certainly good names and good talent as well, Gordon, you've got to say. But it's like everything else. You've got to earn the right to go and play with clubs like Celtic and Rangers, and you've got to be shown that day in, day out, and make sure you're in the manager's thoughts. And then when you get the opportunity, then you've got to grasp it with both hands. I don't get into that YouTube thing. You can look at YouTube and probably people would be trying to sign me.
In general, or you mean for basing your opinion on a player?
Basing your opinion
on a player. That's just what you do when you've not seen them yet.
No, you do. Listen, I could play with the top two teams if you go and look at YouTube. They're now in my hip snackered. Know what I mean?
Waiting, it's that cataract put in.
Yeah. Oh, as long as I'm not there to hear him squeal.
He won't be moving freely after that, that's for sure. Chris and Cardonald, another good suggestion. Thank you very much. Now, tonight's question, you have to listen carefully because it's quite a difficult one. Of all the clubs that have been in Scotland's top flight since 1990, that's quite a few. Name the 10 managers born outside the UK and Ireland who were given their first manager's job by one of those clubs in that time. If that doesn't make sense to you, it will when you hear the answers. Frank Sauzy, born in France, was given his first managerial job by Hibs in 2001. Claude Anelka, born in France, given his first managerial job by Wraith. Ivano Benetti at Dundee, and perhaps, well, one of the most high profile ones, John Barnes, born in Jamaica and given his first managerial job by Celtic in 99.
Here's a high profile one. Richard Gough Livingston, born in Sweden.
He's not as daft as he looks. Lock, so I'll tell you that, Richard Gough, well done. I was talking about you not being as daft as you look. Okay. Not Richard.
Thank you.
Sorry, Richard.
And he was born in Sweden, am I right there, Roger?
Yes.
Yep, there you go.
Yep.
Come on, Roger.
Can we rattle through some of these Hearts ones? Is it some from the Romanov era at all?
No.
No?
None.
Excellent.
Five down, five to go, we'll get them next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Roger Hannah and Gordon Diel are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time for you to tell us which player at your club do you want to see more of in the second half of the season. We're also tackling this full-time teaser tonight as well. We're looking for this. Of all the clubs that have been in Scotland's top flight since 1990, 10 managers born outside the UK and Ireland were given their first managerial job by one of those clubs in that time. So guys like Frank Sauzy, Richard Gough, John Barnes, Claude Anelka and Ivano Bonetti. You're halfway there. Colin Johnson's thrown a number of names in. He's got some right, he's got some of the good ones, but he's gone for guys like Ronnie Dyla, who did manage back in Norway. He's gone for some others that are wrong as well. Kevin Rutkiewicz, for instance.
Forgot them.
What have you two got?
Well, Daz did me a turn when he said Big Goffey at Livingston. I immediately came out. Livingston had an American in charge by the name of John Murphy. He was there for about 2 minutes. People at Almondvale emptying vending machines have been in the building longer.
John, I've never heard of John Murphy in my life.
Am I right, Gordon?
You are right. Honestly, I don't know where you get this stuff. Yep,
John Murphy.
The only other one that came to me, and I can't remember when they were last.
He was Livy manager in 2009.
Till
2009.
When were Morton last in the top flight?
Don't worry about Morton.
Jonathan Johansson,
No.
Oh, great effort, Roger.
Mm. Yep. When you see great.
Yeah, wasn't that good?
Yeah, you've been a bit loose with your...
It was a really poor effort, actually.
Yeah, to be fair, I didn't even want to. I'm trying to just boost you.
There's one I can't believe you've not got, although there is a sneakiness to it in that you might have forgotten where he was born.
Oh.
But I'm still, in terms of the name, the profile, some of the connections, I just can't believe you've not got it.
So born
big club
outside the UK in the Republic of Ireland. No Republic of Ireland people. No.
No.
Right.
He's Canadian. There's always a Canadian in there.
Why is there always?
Because we've even got a producer from Canada here.
We do.
So there's always a Canadian sneaking about somewhere. Colin Miller.
No.
Oh.
I'm willing to give you.
It's a Canadian.
Well, he was born in Canada.
Told you.
He's not. But he's not what you would think of as being Canadian. That will you will not get it if you're thinking of Canadians. He was born in Canada.
But he's a Canadian. He is a Canadian.
I don't want to split hairs here.
Is he what we would describe as a Scot?
No, but he's certainly not what you would think of as being a Canadian. If I was to ask you to name all the Canadians that had come over to Scottish football, you would not name this guy.
So what nationality would we think he would be?
Well, now you will get it, I think.
So he's like Richard Gough. Nobody thinks
Northern
he was...
Ireland. Think more Northern Ireland.
I know who it is. Jimmy Nicol.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
Can't believe you didn't get that.
Man who managed Gordon DL, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Okay, three to get. Still asking which player you'd like to see more of. CW wants to see more of George Edmondson at Rangers. He says Goldson can look dodgy at times. Edmondson and Katic could be the future. Again, even if you're not being critical of Goldson, I can understand that, because a lot of people seem impressed by what they've seen, limited time of Edmondson. Can understand that curiosity.
Yeah, I certainly can understand it, because people talk very highly of the boy, but unfortunately for him, he's down the pecking order, and it's once again it'll be up to him. If there an opportunity arises, he's got to take it.
Rogers and Uddingston, here's a topic that we'll never deal with completely in 4 minutes, but we will do our best. Roger, what's your point on VAR?
I'll be quick, guys. How are we doing? Hello, Roger. Hello, Gordon. Hi, hello, Roger. Gordon. Roger. I know many two Rogers and two Gordon in the same show.
This is very true.
Before I go to my main point, I know I got a couple of minutes ago. Greg Stewart and Jordan Jones for me for Rangers in the second half of the season. By far, okay. I think they'll do well. Look, my point is, end of February, both Rangers and Celtic play in the last 32 of the Europa League, and the VAR is going to kick in. I believe I'm right here, Roger. You've been a journalist, is that right?
Yeah, I think so. I think it comes in the knockout stages, yeah.
Right, it's going to be interesting, because I know Rangers went on about it, they should have it up here now. It's a debate regarding can we afford it? Is it going to be beneficial? And I know there's been a lot of problems down south. I've been watching a lot of matches of the day, and you shake your head, somebody's got a bigger belly or a bigger pair of shorts, and they're going to be offside or not. So it's going to be really interesting how we adapt to it as a country and as a journalist. So I'm going to the game against Braga, so I'm looking forward to it. But if it comes to VAR, I don't know so much.
Well, I watch, I read the papers down south. You watch Sky TV, it focuses greatly on English football. And I actually wonder what my journalistic colleagues down south wrote about and broadcast about before VAR came in, Roger, because it seems to be all I've spoken about the entire season. All the little idiosyncrasies that have come in with it, the rows, the controversies, the flashpoints. I'm not sure quite how you iron it out. I think the genie's out the bottle. I don't think that anybody's going to take VAR away from them again. So they're just going to have to, get used to it. They're just going to have to try and iron out all the little flaws. You look at the goal Timo Pukki had taken away from him for Norwich the other week. And there have been half a dozen others like it. There was a couple, I think, in the Leicester game at the weekend against Southampton. There was a big one that denied Robert Snodgrass a goal at the end of the West Ham game on Friday night. So it's here. I think we have to live with it. And if there is a controversy in either of the games involving Rangers or Celtic in this last 32, we will be able to run this show 24/7 for a week.
Seems there's just a disconnect, Gordon, between the idea of VAR and the reality of it. Because if you offered any football fan, any manager, any player a system which gets more decisions correct than we currently have, you would take it. You take the hand off anyone that offers it. But the reality of it, the current implementation of it, is what's putting people off.
I don't like it, Gordon. It's only my personal opinion. I think it's ruining the excitement of the game. I think that if you've got a decision that you have to stand there for 2-3 minutes, draw lines down from every angle, I just think we need to, if it will stay, as Roger rightly said there, but we've got to improve it. I wouldn't like to see it come to Scotland. I totally understand people say, well, they'll get more decisions right and wrong. I just think that the referees there, three officials, human error. I think that's what sport's all about.
I mean, imagine being
for the fans.
Imagine being offside by a nose, or how frustrating that would
well,
be.
Well, my cup final goal wouldn't have stood. I'd have been sitting here with a runners up medal.
And it's a funny, you made the point there. You mentioned, every player would want this. Clearly that's not the case. For the younger listeners, Gordon DL was a player. He doesn't like it.
No, I said the idea of it. Every player would want a system which gets more more decisions correct than we currently have. But I said the current version of it, the current implementation.
Yeah, but this
no
is,
one likes to be robbed by a mistake. Well, is the
you listen to the Celtic captain Scott Brown speaking from Dubai last week? Doesn't want it.
Yeah, again, that's what, he doesn't want this version. This,
but this is the only version we have. You know, Declan Rice speaking after the West Ham game, penalised for the handball and Snodgrass's goal didn't count. He said he's yet to meet a player who wants it. So. It's proving.
As I said, it was the idea of VAR, is what I said.
But it's proving very, very difficult for this implementation, to use your word of it, to be loved by people. Fans in stadiums down south seem to be perplexed by the whole thing.
Roger, we're going to have to do it again sometime. Please do give us a call back. It's a very important topic, but we are out of time, unfortunately. So please give us a call back, Roger in Uddingston. Right, you've got a couple more in the teaser. Quickly.
Shrugging clue.
You've got
time.
Another Raith Rovers one that you've not got.
Oh really?
Yeah, you've got Claude Anelka, Jimmy Nicol,
Raith Rovers.
Uh huh.
Come on, Daz. Who else was at Raith foreign boss?
I was born in Motherwell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not you. No.
Spain.
Spain.
Calderon.
Yes.
No.
Okay. What about a Ross County manager born in India?
Oh, I know he manages their own. Coyle wasn't born in India, was he?
No. But again, you know, this guy's not Indian. Does, but
what,
he was
one of
born
the current
there.
Boys?
Nope. I'm going to have to put you out your misery because we're just so short in time. Neil Cooper.
Of course.
Never.
And the last one, a St Mirren manager born in the US of A.
Born in the US.
Managed St Mirren 02 to 03.
Come on, Roger, you know that.
Oh my goodness.
Again, you might just not know where he was born.
Who marries in 02 or 03?
John Coughlin.
Is John Coughlin born in the USA?
There we go. Thank you very much. Thank you, Roger and Gordon. The biggest thanks, as always, though, goes to you. Thank you for all your tweets and calls. Thanks for listening. We're back tomorrow night at 6 with Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy. And Stephen Mill is up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.